Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. As an adult, have you ever had to end a friendship?
Like one time she got in this crazy, we got in this crazy argument about the fact that I didn't like a band that she wanted to go see.
That doesn't sound like something to argue about.
When I hit my 30s, I'm like, I don't have fights with friends. Like, we're too old for that.
Exactly. Life is too short to argue about the small stuff.
I got anxiety to introduce her to other people.
Uh-oh, that's another bad sign.
She had a boyfriend at the time, and we all four went out to dinner. And she starts saying, so, like, do you have a problem with how many people Sarah slept with? Like, have you guys talked about that?
Okay, that's completely unacceptable.
This isn't someone that I can have in my life. This isn't someone that I'm comfortable with.
Today on Storyworthy, comedian Sarah Colonna talks about ending a friendship. Stick around.
Hey, it's Sarah Colonna, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
So glad you guys tuned in today, whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener. Welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you enjoyed this story last week with comedian Randy Sklar and his story, Planning a Trip. It was just hilarious. Randy tried to plan like this ultimate romantic trip for his wife, and it ends up with like they're in a Christian bed and breakfast and a hot air balloon accident. So, you know, if that somewhat intrigues you, and it should, you need to go back and listen to Randy's story, Planning a Trip. But not now, because today you are here with me and the very talented comedian and New York Times bestselling author, Sarah Colonna. Now, you know Sarah from Chelsea Handler's show and from her books, Life As I Blow It and Has Anyone Seen My Pants? By the way, I love both of those titles.
I know, they're very ridiculous.
I love both of those topics. I love all of it. And today, Sarah brings forth the topic, ending a friendship. And this is a really interesting topic because we have never covered this on Storyworthy. And it's funny because we've talked about breakups, people talk about relationships ending. And when they talk about relationships ending, you assume they're talking about a romantic relationship. But sometimes you do have to end regular friendships. And it's weird because especially as an adult, you know, like I'm old now. So by the time you're in your 50s, you better be able to like tell somebody, I can't be your friend anymore. You need to be able to draw lines, use your words, you know, like an adult. And so this happened to me a couple of years ago. I was on the phone with a flight attendant friend because I used to be a flight attendant years ago. Now, I will say that this wasn't like a friend I saw every day. This was like a girl I knew, as it were. So it wasn't like she was my best friend or somebody that I don't even live in the same city as her. But we happened to be on the phone together. She called me to tell me congratulations on, because I had finished my own book, and she told me congratulations, and it was just such a surprise to talk to her. And I said, oh, how's it going, Cynthia? And, you know, and we're chatting, and it seemed to go well for a minute. And then I said, so what's going on with you guys, and how's your husband? And first she told me that she's working in the garbage industry, so right there, I can tell maybe she's not that happy because she's in garbage. Like, yeah. I mean, it's an administration job. But anyway, she goes, and I'm here in Cleveland. And I said, oh, well, you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, she lived in Pittsburgh too. And I was like, oh, well, you know, Cleveland's always been a nice city. Just saying something. And she goes, no, it's not. It's full of Jews and then she says the N-word.
Oh, my God.
I know. And
oh my
then
God.
I just had to be like, I just was like, I don't think we can be friends anymore. And she goes, you know, we weren't really that good of friends to begin with. And I'm like, okay.
Well, sounds like a very aggressive person.
Yeah, this wasn't that hard of a relationship to end. But still, it was one of those, like, when I hung up the phone, I know for a fact I will never talk to this girl again. It's not going to happen. And sometimes you just have to do that. You have to just break up with a friend. And it's the healthiest thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be with somebody who uses words like that. It's just not going to happen. So anyway, you guys, that was my story, but Sarah's going to have a terrific story, I know, coming up. And I do want to remind you guys before she comes on to, you know, I'm not even going to remind you because you know better that you need to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. You know this. So why would I remind you to follow me at Storyworthy. Why would I do that? Because you know, right? Also, head over to storyworthypodcast.com and check out all the activity going on over there. Is there a lot of activity going on over there? No, not really, but there's some things. Okay, well then go. All right, you will. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, you guys, she's here right now, Sarah Colonna. She is a comedian and an actress and also a New York Times bestselling author, like I said, of two books, Life as I Blow It, Life, Love, and Sex, not necessarily in that order, and more recently, her book, Has Anyone Seen My Pants? Which I swear to God, I've had these stories about, you know, has anyone seen my pants? I've had these being in a hotel room, getting outside of the room, and then you forget you don't have pants on. This happens. Yes. This is not unusual.
It's a real thing that happens.
It's a real thing.
I think everyone thinks it's a it's like all about sex, and I'm like, no, it's actually literally just walked out without pants on.
Without pants on. Yeah. Yeah, sure, because you're not thinking.
Things
and
aren't.
You just, right, you go.
You're in a phase.
I've walked out of my apartment on the way to tennis in flip-flops or slippers or, you know, like forget to put the wrong shoes on.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're in a hotel, you're just that comfortable. Forget your goddamn pants.
Yep.
Sarah also wrote and performed, like I said, on Chelsea Lately and the spinoff After Lately. And she's appeared on several other TV shows as well, including The Steve Harvey Show, The United States of Tara, Scare Tactics, and Monk. And more recently, Sarah's been cast on the CW drama Insatiable. Now, that's a pilot?
It's a pilot.
A drama.
It's a dramedy. It's certainly a dark comedy, but there's a lot of funny stuff in it.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that.
It's great. It's great.
Wonderful. Yeah. You're doing everything. We're so glad you're here. You guys can follow Sarah over on Twitter at Sarah Colonna, and also check out her website, sarahcolonna.com. All right, guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for the lovely and talented Sarah Colonna.
Yay. Hi.
Hi, friend.
You know, it's so funny that you say how hard it is as you get older to end a friendship, and it is something. You know, certainly we grow apart from people, or we see people a lot when a certain phase in our life. Like when I was bartending, I would see the people that I worked with all the time. And then when you move on and you go to another, and maybe some of those friendships last and some of them just sort of fade out. And I don't know, especially maybe living in Los Angeles and having this certain career where you meet so many people. You know, you start with this core group of friends, because I moved out here from Arkansas and I didn't really know anybody. And I was only 22. So the first few people that I met were definitely like at restaurants and bars. Some of them are comedians as well, because I started doing that pretty quickly. But, you know, for the most part, you're just trying to make your family, you know, here, your new family, because your real family doesn't live here. And I met this friend, we'll call her Renee. That's what I called her in the book. This story's in the book, but it's much longer and different in the book. But I mean, it has the same ending, but you know what I mean. Yeah. It's a little more detailed in there. And it's tied in with other things that I was going through. But she's someone that I met through another good friend. And they had become really, really tight. And this girl was my roommate at the time. So, you know, by proxy, you end up becoming friends with this person. And she was one of those people that just struck me as like, wow, she'll say anything. And she's bold and she has no filter. And, you know, it's cool. Like we would go out to bars and she would sort of entice people, or I don't know. Sometimes it would be embarrassing, I won't lie. But sometimes it was just cool. She had this vibe of like, I don't give a shit, you know? And when you're 22 and you don't know people that well, or don't know many people around here, you're like, oh, this is what it's like to own yourself. She was a few years older than me, not many, like maybe 3 or 4 years older than me. So she and I really started to hit it off as friends as well. So while she's also really good friends with my roommate now, all three of us are becoming really good friends. And I guess we lasted for 15 years as friends, which is a really long time, which is why it was so hard. But when I met her, she was married. She ended up getting a divorce. And when she became single, that sort of personality of hers became a little bit more aggressive, in the sense of when she'd go out and she wanted to meet people, but she would, her way of meeting people, it's funny that you say like what that girl said to you about the Jews and the N-word, like she was sort of that kind of person, not in the sense of calling people, but she liked to use like shock value words to get people's attention and to like attract people to her. And I am definitely not like that. I'm definitely a quieter person as far as like going out, especially if if I'm out with my friends, I really just want to have a drink. I really don't want to talk to like a bunch of strangers. I was never that kind of person. So I sort of enjoyed that there was this difference between the two of us. And it was like, okay, well, she'll take care of us having like an entertaining evening out. But oddly, when she was also a very big drinker. So some of these things became more aggressive as she drank more. And when I was younger, I didn't really pinpoint that. You know, I just didn't really realize. I was like, no, that's just her personality, which it is. But there would be some more aggression the more she drank. And therefore, she and the girl that was my roommate at the time actually started having issues because they got into like knockdown, drag out, like not punching fights, but pretty nasty verbal fights to where they ended up stopping their friendship probably several years before I ended up stopping it with her. So they were no longer friends, but she and I still were, which was sort of awkward at times. But for the most part, because this is, you know, after a few years, I wasn't living with this girl anymore anyway. So it was fine. It was like she would ask about her and they would ask about each other, but they just didn't hang out anymore. And, you know, they kind of had a dramatic ending as well. But, you know, you start to... She would ask me questions about how Renee was doing, you know, and I'd say like, oh, it's kind of the same, you know, things are the way they are. And the hardest part in coming to terms with the fact that like as this went on, I realized this person is, it's almost like that jock in high school that never grows out of being the jock, and then he's 40 and he's still, you know, roughing people up and saying shitty things. And as we started to get older, I kept seeing this like aggressive behavior when we would go out, and then she would pick fights with me. Like one time she got in this crazy, we got in this crazy argument about the fact that I didn't like a band that she wanted to go see. And I was like, oh, I just don't like them. Like, I just don't want to go to that. And then she basically attacked me and told me my opinion was wrong. It was and it's like about a fucking band. Like, who cares, you know? And these things became more and more common. Like, we would get in these kinds of fights. And I don't get in fights with my friends, especially when you get to be 30, you know, because we'd been friends for several years, obviously. When I hit my 30s, I'm like, I don't have fights with friends. Like, we're too old for that, you know? Like, this is dumb. And if you do, it's like, oh, you showed up late or whatever. It's not a knockdown drag out over what taste in music you have. So these things became sort of more and more common. And she was definitely a person, and I hate saying this about someone, but she was definitely a friend that I had a hard time, like, I got anxiety to introduce her to other people. You know, like, if I was dating someone, I had anxiety to introduce them to her because I knew that she was going to say something shitty. And there was this point where, you know, this is, again, I'm condensing this story because it could be for hours, but there was a point now, you know, a good 12 years into it, and I'm breaking up with someone I had been with for 5 years, and I start dating a guy who was pretty ridiculous in hindsight, but he was just like a, you know, someone fun because I had just become newly single and he was fun and I knew him and whatever. And she and I, we went out to dinner. She had a boyfriend at the time, and we all four went out to dinner. And she starts saying, so like, do you have a problem with how many people Sarah slept with? Like, have you guys talked about that? Like, she was like pretty crazy in her 20s. And I was like, what? I'm 32 years old now. I don't do that anymore. And even if I did, like, whatever. This is so inappropriate. But she would do things like that. And, you know, now I'm humiliated in front of this guy I'm dating. And she has zero clue why I would care. Don't you want some? Her big thing was, don't you want someone to love you for who you are? Sure, but that's not how you start a conversation with someone about a subject like that, which, by the way, was like so blown out of proportion anyway. I'm like, well, yeah, so I had a couple one-night stands in my 20s. I don't think that's going to make him any impact on our relationship now, you know, a decade later or whatever. But those were the kinds of things that she would do. And that one was, it started to be a breaking point for me where I was like, you know, I think now at this point I was like 35. I was like, this isn't someone that I can have in my life. This isn't someone that I'm comfortable with. You know, I was very upset after that, obviously. And she didn't seem to really get why, but she sort of apologized. And I guess, which I had been doing for years and years, is I was just like, it's fine. It's just how she is, right? I put it in that box of like, it's just how she is. And then there was another point probably a few months after that. And I was just like, I was hanging out with someone else. And then I found out he was married. We had never gone on an actual date. We were like talking. So that's what I mean by hanging out. It was someone that I was like, oh my God, this guy pursued me and we were going to go on a date. And I was like, I had been single for a long time, which I was enjoying. So I was kind of like, oh, this is a fun flirt. And then I found out this guy was married. I was horrified because I would never in a million years. Luckily, I found out before I ever went on, like met up with him. Yeah. And it was more of like a texting thing. And I was really upset about it because of my own judgment. Like I was just saying, I just thought, what am I doing? How would I not have caught this earlier? You know, I'm not one of those people. I haven't ever been married now, but I hadn't ever been one of those people who was like looking for the husband or looking for, I was just, so I thought, why am I not aware of something like this? How was I not smarter to like, you know, it sounds dumb because we hadn't gone on a date, but I just, because of what this guy did for a living and all the interest I had in him, he just seemed really like someone that I was going to connect with. And then I realized he was completely full of shit. So I called Renee and this is like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I don't like to talk on the phone. But so I called her to tell her the story. And I was crying because I just felt stupid. It wasn't really about my feelings about this person. It was just like, I'm way too old to get it myself in this kind of thing. And I'm just glad I caught it first, but I feel like an idiot. So I'm telling her the story and she's not listening. And then she just starts laughing when I finish. And I said, and then I found out he's married. And she just started laughing. And I could detect in her voice that she was a little bit drunk. And it was like 8 a.m. And I just went, another case of what am I doing? Why am I surrounded by people right now who obviously aren't doing anything helpful to me? And I hate saying that because she had been a good friend in many situations in her own way, you know? But this was becoming to the point where like it felt like she was trying to damage any sort of happiness outside of our friendship, anything with a guy. I felt like she wanted to like damage that or not take me seriously. And I was like, I'm not calling you at 12 a 12-year-old telling you about some guy down the street that, you know, called me a name or whatever. Like I'm a grown woman trying to have a conversation with you about something that really sucks right now. And I just realized I couldn't rely on her. And we ended that conversation. And then I just stopped talking to her for a while and she would reach out to me. She didn't understand why I was upset. And so I finally said, all right, well, I told her. I said, you know, this is what happened. And you laughed. And I don't really get where you're coming from with this sort of attitude anymore. Like, we're friends. We're supposed to be friends. So for you to just disregard an entire conversation that we had. And then she admitted to me that she didn't really remember it. So then I thought, it's kind of not her fault, you know, that she doesn't remember it. But it's her fault. Why? But at the same time, then I started to think, I'm like, maybe she has a real problem. I mean, shouldn't have taken me this long to figure that out. But, you know, so I decided to just let it go. And I said, okay, well, why don't we get together? She said, let's just get together, hang out, me and her and this other friend. The three of us, let's just get together. She's like, you know, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to come over to your house. We'll put on sweats. We'll watch TV. I said, that sounds great. We'll just have a night together, you know, and like another girlfriend of ours who has a kid. So her nights are harder to schedule. So we get it all set. And she calls me that, you know, like, she's like, what should I bring? I said, nothing. You know, we're just staying here. And she's like, no, I want to go out. I want to go out. I just want to go out. I don't want to sit at your house. And it was like a completely different conversation. And it seems so dumb, but it was like a culmination of events where I was just like, I can't talk to you anymore. I don't even understand. She like flipped out on me because I wanted her to come over and hang out at my house, which by the way was me trying to like reconnect with her, you know? So I literally stopped. What do the kids call it? Ghosting? I just stopped talking to her. She freaked out on me that night over a plan that we both made together. It made no sense. And I just was like, you're too erratic. You freak out about things that I don't even, you know, and you're like two different people. So I just quit talking to her and I quit returning her phone calls and I quit texting her back or anything for a while. And then our final like conversation was that she thought we were both going to be at the same party together. And she called me and she's like, I just want to talk to you before. If we're both, I just don't want it to be weird. So I called her and I said, okay, great. Let's talk it out. Here's what happened, you know, and I listed way more events than I'm giving you, but just like boom, boom, boom. And the final straw, you know, you laughing when I tried to talk to you about something, you having this freak out on us for just trying to sort of reconnect and hang out. And like, I don't understand what's going on with you. So, but I just know that you always pick a fight with me or with someone around me, and I can't do it. And then she said, I'm so sorry. Okay, let's go to this thing. We'll see each other. It'll be fine. And then, you know, and then after that, let's just like get together. And, oh my God, I heard you're getting married. And like, you know, then all of a sudden she just acted like it was all fine. And I was like, no, that's not what was happening. I was just trying to tell you, of course, I'm not going to be rude to you at a friend's party, but this isn't it. We're not reconnecting. I was happier and I was way less stressed out when she wasn't my friend anymore. So we hang up on that conversation and she doesn't end up going to that party. And then she just starts texting me again, like, hey, let's get together. And I just wrote it back. I said, I just don't think you listened. I don't think you listened. I don't think you got it. Like, and then sometimes she would leave me like really nasty messages when she was drinking about how she wishes she'd never met me. And, you know, how could I do that to her? We've been friends for all these years. And I just didn't ever respond to him anymore.
Sarah Colonna, it's a really intense story. How long has it been?
It's now been, I think, 3 years.
Probably 3 years. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you have to block her on your phone?
I didn't. No, she's just stopped finally.
How about Facebook or Twitter?
No, she's not a social media person, so okay. Which is kind of nice because then I don't have to worry about that stuff. And the girl that we were supposed to all hang out with.
Yeah, the third person.
She's very good. She's very bipartisan about like not, she like doesn't say anything. She doesn't give me any information about her and vice versa, but she did let me know in the best way that she could. She's like, I think she's making better choices now. So I believe she's sober now.
Well, she sounds like an alcoholic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I could give you, that story could have been 4 hours of me telling you like the things that she did.
I guess I just keep thinking, like, why were there so many red flags for you? Why did, I mean, maybe now yeah. as you, so did a therapist help you through this or how did it
no.
take so long? I mean, I don't mean to be judging, but seem to take a long time.
It did take a long time because she was someone who, there would be moments of just her being a really good friend. And there yeah. would be moments of me thinking, and I did, in my gut, I knew she had a drinking problem because you don't, listen, did I drink? Have I drank? Do I still drink too much from
of
time
course.
To time?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But when your personality changes.
Absolutely.
And you become a different person.
Well, and then
and
just
when you're,
trying to use all those shock value words just yeah. to get attention, obviously. Push
totally.
Buttons.
There were things like her personality would get, she would just get sort of venomous at times. And it didn't used to be directed at me. And then over the past.
Oh, yeah.
A few years,
it started
to get directed to me. And so I think that's what took me so long is even though I saw all the signs, and you're totally right, there were a million red flags, but there were times that we were just, she was still a good friend. And I know she's not a bad person, you know? So
well,
that made it harder. But for me, when I realized it doesn't benefit me anymore to be her friend, meaning like that sounds kind of selfish, but it didn't.
No,
it was
no,
like this is too stressful.
Absolutely.
Like I can't even imagine introducing her now to my husband. I can't even imagine
oh,
that.
Oh my gosh. Right. When you said that, anytime you would have anxiety introducing somebody to people you love,
yeah.
if you feel anxiety, that is a huge red flag.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
That's a huge
yeah.
problem.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think we should go through together as women, we should give a little message out there to other women out there, you know, some red flags. Like my daughter's 10 years old and I tell her, you know, Alabama, there are going to be people who love and then there's going to be people that hate.
Yep.
And you have to discern that. And just because somebody's nice to you doesn't mean you have to be their friend.
No.
Be really careful who you give your time to.
That's very true. It's very true. And I think part of that too is like meeting when we were younger and her, you know, she did like, there was a time that she lent me some money that
yeah.
Because I didn't want to ask my parents for money. And it was just like a tough phase when, you know, out here. I mean, it's not easy. There's times.
That's
like,
very kind.
She, there was a lot of things that she did for me. And I, as far as like, you know, I can't say that the whole relationship was always one-sided.
And I don't think your judgment would be that bad, or you wouldn't have been friends with her to begin with.
Of course.
My first husband got another girl pregnant.
Oh, boy.
And people say, you know, that was, but you know, oh, he was such a nice guy. Well, yeah, he was a nice guy. I married him. I mean, yeah, I think he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
So obviously she must have had good qualities.
100%.
And being confident, life of the party.
Yeah.
You're new in town.
Yes.
I could see all that.
But the interesting thing is now, you know, to now that I know, or at least she got sober for a while. I don't know if it still is. I hope so. Cause I definitely think those times, especially those last few sort of blowout odd arguments that came out of nowhere from her were because she was
drunk,
you know.
Yeah, if you decide to go to a girlfriend's house to hang out and watch movies, then that is like, that's decided.
It was such an odd.
Then turn around and say
no. Nah. And it was like an exorcism spin around sort of. What are you fucking talking about? I want to go out, and like, you guys are boring and this. And I was just like, what are you? This is a different conversation than we had like 2 days ago. And it just, and I just thought, I can't have these moments with you. Like, that shouldn't have been the breaking point. It should have been something bigger.
Right.
But I just.
This is a really great topic, Sarah. And for my story-worthy audience, you guys should know that you can get Sarah Colonna's book, Has Anyone Seen My Pants? It's available on Audible, and listeners can actually get the audiobook for free with a 30-day trial membership by going to audible.com/storyworthy. Again, that's audible.com/storyworthy. And I have to tell you, it's such a funny book, Sarah. But then there's moments like this, too, that are a little more serious.
Yeah, and I think that's my goal in writing the book was to say, because it was basically about going, navigating your mid-30s, you know, getting close to turning 40 alone.
Right.
But in a good way, because I was happy.
Right.
But then things would come up that would make you go, oh, God, why do, like, I had to put down my cat, and that was awful to be alone. You know, it was awful to have to do it with, I have friends, obviously, but every night when I had to give him medication, I was alone. I was like, what the fuck? I don't have someone here to help me.
But then there's other parts, because I was listening to Audible and listening to the book, and your voice is very listenable. And I was in Albertsons, and I'm laughing out loud, and people are looking at me like, what are you laughing at? And I'm pointing to my earbuds saying, you know, have you seen my pants? Like, what? Has anyone seen my pants? And this was confusing.
Yes.
But the audiobook is specifically good because your voice is very listenable.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, I really enjoyed doing that too, because my first book I didn't do in Audible. And so I loved doing it, especially with the funny stories, like to be able to put the you know, characters in there sort of in your own way.
Yeah.
It was fun. I liked doing it.
But when it comes to breaking up with a girlfriend, this girl particularly, it seems like she might have also had some trouble with your success. I mean, did that also?
I couldn't tell. I mean, she wasn't someone that wanted to be in the entertainment industry.
Oh, okay. So what was her industry?
She worked, she helped place people, like a headhunter kind of.
That's terrifying.
I know. She did. She was great. She
was very good at her
she
job.
She was, yeah. And she makes great money doing it, and, you know, very successful in a 9-to-5 job. So
yeah.
I don't know for sure, but I couldn't tell where but definitely when she would attack me, especially out with like someone we were on a date with or anything, that felt like it must have come from some place of not wanting me to be happy with someone, you know.
Well,
so I'm not positive.
It sounds like a possessive thing as well.
Yeah,
you know, it almost
that's
sounds
true.
Like the kind of abusive relationship.
Totally.
Between a man and woman, same kind of a dynamic where they don't want you getting too far out of their sight, as it were.
And it felt like she really liked to make jokes about things that I had done in the past, as if it's almost like she wanted to keep me down.
She wouldn't validate you.
She wanted to keep me down instead of, you know, building me up. Or
so that's another good tip for especially young women out there. If somebody doesn't want the best for you, then that's not good.
Yeah, that's not.
Because in other
words,
they're afraid to shine, or they're afraid it's their own insecurities.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then, of course, I've told my daughter, Alabama, that, you know, if you hear that little girl talking about so-and-so on the playground, you better believe, you know, or if somebody talks to you badly about someone else, you better believe they're talking to another person badly about you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, it's what they do.
Absolutely.
What else can we tell our children? Not your children, Sarah. You don't have children. My children. What else can we tell the children?
But that's it. But you're right. Like, only people that want to build you up. Only people that, you know, you can't be take, take, take in a friendship or a relationship.
And here's another thing. Who are their other friends? Like you said, she had that third friend. Mm-hmm. You had that third person in the friendship. But that she never spoke up.
No. Well, I did find out that they had a little bit of a scene over, I think it was like a birthday weekend for this friend. So, and then I think it was right after that that she, I believe, got sober. And I hope still is. Yeah, I don't ask. But I the last time I asked, which wasn't that long ago, is that she was. So,
I hope so.
And I don't, you know, it's like one of those things where I think, oh, well, I wonder if we could be, but I just think it's too far gone.
Let it go. There's plenty of other people to give your attention to. Another red flag, I would say, is look at the way other people tip. I mean, I say that across the board, men or women. But like if it's a female friend and she tips poorly or he tips poorly,
yeah,
that's a big flag for me.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It just doesn't – I can't have that.
No, I can't. It makes my – like it makes you want to be like, I'll pay. I'll pay.
Yeah. By the way, who was the band that you wanted to see that she didn't?
I can't. I can't remember even the guy's name.
Was it like John Mayer or somebody?
It was some. Yeah, it was. It was a solo guy.
Jason Mraz.
Was it like? Sure, but
okay,
no.
So, okay.
Yeah, it was like more obscure, and I had listened to it, and I didn't really like it.
Fucking mean.
Oh my God, it was so crazy. Mean? I couldn't believe it. I mean, she like. I thought I was gonna have to jump out of the taxi.
That's like, the craziest thing.
Who fucking cares if I don't like the stupid
yeah,
band?
Yeah, that's the strangest thing.
It is.
I think I would have been able to ditch her right then.
A little, yeah, a little quicker, yeah.
Hey, listen, this is exciting. Now, of course, you perform stand-up all over the country, but I was looking into some of the stuff you've done. You performed with Chelsea Handler at venues like Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
And the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
So how wonderful were those venues?
It was awesome. And like that was sort of right when Chelsea lately started taking off. So she was getting all these like big venues and she would bring a writer with her. One of the writers would go and open for her. And she was great because she'd be like, do 45 minutes, do what, you know, because she wanted to give them like a 2-hour show. So you're getting to basically do your own headliner length set.
Amazing.
At these places. And because, yeah, they're there, they paid for those tickets because they're there to see her. But because they were fans of the show, they always knew the writer too. So it's like afterwards you got treated like, it was so exciting, you know?
It's so wonderful.
And then those people are still awesome. Like now they come to all the clubs that I headline. Like,
it's so amazing.
Yeah, really faithful fans.
But what's the difference between playing for 200 people in a regular stand-up room?
Yeah.
Right? Would you say most stand-up clubs, 200, 300?
Yeah, like 253. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then you're at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
in that Coliseum they built for Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Did you sing?
No. I should have.
How many people does that hold? Like 5,000?
I think it was 5,000. And then I think that's what Radio City is too. And
so
the
how
craziest
is that?
Was this Mohegan Sun, this place for New Year's Eve. It was like 15,000.
Where is that?
At the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut.
Oh, a big, it's a gambling, it's huge, it's a casino.
It has this huge arena. And I was like, she asked me to do that. And I was like, holy shit. So. I mean, at that point, you're like, I don't even know if anyone's listening. Like, it's too big.
No, right. So in other words, like, how do you wait for the laugh? Or how do you play to the back row? Or what if they're not responding because they didn't even, like, with the speed of time.
Right.
Like, your voice didn't get there.
Yeah, they have them pretty. I mean, luckily, those places have a lot of shows like that. So I think it's, like, kind of set. Like, people know how to react and listen to a stand-up show versus like a concert at a place like that. So I think they
but
know.
But you as the performer, you have to pause and wait
yeah.
longer.
Yeah. You just sort of take a deep breath and make sure you're paying attention.
I think that is so exciting.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I think that is fantastic. I'm really happy for you. And now you're married to John Ryan, who's the punter for the Seahawks.
Yes.
Now, were you ever into sports?
I actually, my dad was a sports editor, so I grew up a huge baseball
fan.
In
Arkansas, you grew up.
Well, I did, but he has been out here since I was like 6 or 7.
Oh, I see.
So he moved out here. My parents split up when I was like 5. And then he was out here for working at the Orange County Register.
Uh-huh.
So when I would visit him during the summer, it was always baseball season. So I grew up a big Angels fan.
So he was a sports writer?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The Orange County Register is the newspaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back when the newspapers were like still a thing, right?
Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
So we grew up going to, I would go out to Angels games with him all the time because he'd be working and he covered them. So I was always a big baseball fan. And then all other sports I could just sort of take because they're always like, I was always around it. But I didn't have a football team. The fact that I lived in Arkansas, it was a college football, you know, place.
Right, and it's not.
And there wasn't a football team here anymore. I mean, my dad covered the Rams like their first round forever ago. But so I didn't really have a football team.
Well,
so
who did your dad like football wise?
He has always liked the Rams. Like that was his. Mm-hmm. And then so he's actually excited that they've moved back out here. But when he goes to a Rams Seahawks game, you know, he has to.
Did he like them in St. Louis?
He still followed it. Like, once he got out of sports, he basically just, like, quit caring and just, like, watching golf.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't.
I find that so boring.
Yeah, but now he's so into it again with John. And yeah,
John
and he loves having him to talk to about it.
That's so fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
What is that 12th man thing in Seattle? What's happening?
It's there. They love it, and it just, it's the best. It's like, they make them, like, because there's 11 men on the field, so that's, like, the 12th is the fan.
The 12th is the fan. Everybody's a number 12.
Yes. So
everybody's a number 12.
Yeah.
I think that's adorable.
It is. It's cool. And they really, I mean, they run with it. So there's the
flag
and and like I think there's more 12 jerseys probably than anyone else.
What are their colors again? Blue and white?
Blue and green.
Blue and green.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you like the colors?
I do. Yeah.
I would be interested in that. The logo.
Yeah.
The colors.
Yeah. You want to have like wear cute stuff. So
yeah.
That's good.
Totally. Absolutely. How do you like the other professional athletes' wives, as it were? Because there's always sort of a thing about that.
I know. Yeah. Well, I was very nervous about it, but they're actually all, I haven't had a bad experience yet, so I kind of keep waiting for it, like thinking that they're all going to act like that, you know, the WAGs on the E Network, that show.
WAGs stands for, what does that stand
for? Wives and girlfriends.
Wives and girlfriends of athletes.
Yes.
Or stars. Or
yeah.
Whatever. Okay, right.
It's very silly, but I thought, I was nervous about it, but they have all been really awesome.
Yeah.
So far I've had, you know, knock on wood, bad experiences.
Watch that show Ballers?
John watches it. I like, I've seen it, but I have to, I need to like actually just watch the whole season.
It's around the Miami Dolphins. I think they used to shoot in Miami, but now they're back in LA.
Yeah, and I think they have like consultants on it that were actually players. So John says like a lot of this stuff is more realistic, you know, in the dialogue.
Well, it's really interesting because, I mean, I've never been a huge sports fan, but growing up in Pittsburgh, you're sort of obligated, you know, in a lot of respects to at least hear sports around you.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole city's built on, football and hockey and baseball. So the lives of athletes have always been sort of, you know, mysterious, you know.
Yeah.
How do they get to the game? Where do they put in their suitcase? How
right.
long do they stay there? Who do they, you know, and
it's so weird.
So some of these shows like Ballers, now all of a sudden you see behind the scenes, as it were. I mean, it's fiction, but you can still get more of an idea of how it works.
Yeah, the football thing is crazy because anytime I tell anyone, like, you know, they all stay in the team hotel the night before a game.
Right.
Obviously, on the road they have to, but at home they do too. They
right.
have to stay in a hotel when they're home. And people are like, wait, they can't stay at their own house? I'm like, no, that's just
no, because it's NFL. Part of the whole thing.
It's part of it, yeah.
Right. If you were performing, well, I don't know. I was going to say if you're in a band, then maybe you could come home the night before. But you don't have to start
playing. You
probably
could because you
like
don't have a
9
boss.
p.m.
But you don't have, you know what I mean? It's not an organized.
Right. And you don't have to like get up in the morning.
Right.
Do they eat breakfast as a team?
Yes. They have like a big meal room, you know.
Are you laughing at me
hotel.
That I'm asking now?
No, it's funny. Yeah.
These questions.
No, it's funny. I like it.
And they go regularly dressed, like they're dressed regular, and they get to the locker room and their stuff is just there, right?
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
has come ahead of time and put their suits
They have everything in the locker room for
that
them.
Must be nice.
Yeah. And then they have like equipment guys for when they travel and they bring all that stuff. They pack everything.
And trainers are with them.
Yeah.
Massage people.
Yeah, there's a crazy amount of people that fly with them.
Yeah, because if there's 11 people on the field, but there's how many people on the team? 16?
I think there's 53 on the roster.
50 on the roster.
Yeah.
And then another 200.
I should know these things, but
how many more traveling along?
And then I think there's like 200 people total.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you think about it, those NFL games, there's only 16 a year. I mean,
yeah.
There's so few.
Yeah.
You could see how much weight is put on each one.
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing that's way different than baseball that I had to get used to. It's like, oh yeah, this is every game really matters.
Wait, did you date a baseball player as well?
No, but just because I, like, knowing, that's my...
Knowing baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, 166 games or something.
Yeah, like I don't lose my mind in June over the record, you know, but in... football, it matters right away.
It matters right away, right. Yeah. And as, you know, before you probably thought, well, Seattle wins or loses. I mean, who cares like any team? But now.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of weight on this.
Yeah, definitely.
Is he in a bad mood if they don't win?
He's pretty good about it. He's actually pretty good about it.
Is it like having a good set on the road? If it's a better set, you feel.
Yeah, you can kind of blow it off anymore. You know what I mean? Like you don't. But yeah, I mean, I think the only time I've actually seen him really, really, really upset was when they lost the second Super Bowl that they were in.
Yeah.
Because it was like a brutal loss. So that was the only time. But he's still, it was like. He just didn't want to talk to anyone afterwards. He was like, just can you get alcohol and meet me in the room? And like, yeah. I don't want to see like, because everyone's there, his whole family, everyone's sure. You know, it's the Super Bowl. So he was like, I just don't want to talk about it right now. So
yeah, I'm sure everybody understands.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right.
Yeah.
So you called Renee in. You called Renee over.
Yeah, right.
And you said, have you meet my crazy friend.
Yeah.
This is a good time.
Yeah, perfect time.
Thank you so much for talking with me today. And don't forget, you guys, you can pick up Sarah Colonna's book, Has Anyone Seen My Pants, over at Audible, and get that 30-day trial membership by going to audible.com/storyworthy. Again, it's audible.com/storyworthy.
And don't miss author and creator of Found magazine, Davy Rothbart, next week as he talks about meeting his wife.
I had an instant crush on her, and you nailed it. You know, you have that instant attraction, and I was like, this is the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life.
Don't miss the incredible Davy Rothbart next week on Storyworthy.
All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer. And one more time, on behalf of the very talented and super funny Sarah Colonna, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.